Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Chelsea has spent $2.1 million since November giving direct cash assistance to nearly 2,700 low-income residents. Supporters of the program called Chelsea Eats have said that giving cash directly to those who need assistance is more respectful and also more efficient in providing for basic needs. Well, a new examination of how people use the money suggests they're right. 73% of expenditures went to locations where food's the primary product. Think grocery stores, wholesale stores, convenience stores, restaurants. And a significant percentage went to local businesses. Researchers at the Harvard Kennedy School's Rappaport Institute for Greater Boston conducted the study. Joining us to talk more about the program and this data is Chelsea City Manager Tom Ambrosino. Tom, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
So, Tom, we talked with you in October just as you were getting ready to launch Chelsea Eats. You said then that while you knew this wasn't something the city could necessarily sustain with its own funds long term, you were hoping the results would help people rethink this idea of direct cash support programs, which have been quite controversial. Were these the kinds of results you were expecting and hoping for?
Both. We were hoping for them, and frankly, we were expecting that people would spend this money responsibly, and that's exactly what the data shows.
So tell us a little bit more about what the data told you.
So the majority of the money, more than a majority of it, was spent in places where likely people bought food, supermarkets, grocery stores, places like BJ's and Costco. A lot of the money was spent right here in the city of Chelsea, particularly at some of the largest supermarkets like Market Basket and Campari, Shop and Compare. So we felt very enthusiastic that the program worked. And there were certainly good substantive reasons for us switching to this model as opposed to the pantry model.
And remind us what some of those were, Tom.
Well, the city was running its own food pantries, its daily food pantries, through from the start of the pandemic until close to the end of September. We were doing it because the food security needs were food insecurity was extraordinary here during that height of the pandemic, and we had to provide for it in some way. And so we were doing it initially by daily food pantries, but we were finding it was a very inefficient way to deliver this service. We were spending lots of money on non-food items like temporary employees, trucking costs, packaging costs. And so that wasn't all that helpful. In addition, it was an undignified way for people to get this need met. We had long lines, particularly in the heat of the summer. People would stand in line sometimes for more than an hour waiting for a heavy box of food. Lots of our residents don't have cars, so that meant they had to carry this heavy box home, sometimes for blocks, sometimes for longer. So we realized there was a way to do it more efficiently and with more dignity, and that was simply by giving people a card where they could go and buy whatever food they wanted and also meet other necessary needs they had if they were not food related. We felt it was just as important for them to pay a utility bill or to get some transportation or do whatever was needed for them to get their lives back in order, given how disrupted they had been by this pandemic.
So you talked about the dignity of doing it this way, but you guys had to hold a lottery. Not everyone who had before been standing in those hot lines waiting for heavy boxes of food were able to get one of these cards with $200 or $300 or $400 a month on them. What happened to those folks over these last few months?
So, you know, unfortunately, just that the demand outstripped our supply. We had a certain amount of money that we thought we could raise and provide through both government sources, and we just weren't able to to accommodate the 3,600 plus families who applied for the program. So we ended up having a lottery. We selected just over 2,000 winners. And for the balance of those who didn't get a card, we continued to maintain support for some of the existing food pantries in the city. There are still ongoing daily food pantries in the city. The city of Chelsea supports those pantries in different ways. We simply are not running our own independent municipal food pantries any longer. We've replaced those with this Chelsea Eats debit card, but other pantries continue to operate with city support, and it's to those where we have to refer those unlucky ones who did not secure a Chelsea Eats debit card.
So, Tom, this is unfolding and the front lines of a debate that's going on about guaranteed basic income programs. When we talked with you in October, we also there was a representative of the Shaw Family Foundation. They provided extensive financial support alongside the government money to do this program. And they were pretty clear that this was a pilot for universal basic income or guaranteed basic income, whichever one you want to call it. How do you see these results as feeding into that debate, because the debate is around the use of direct cash payments to support people?
Well, first, let me just take a moment to thank the Shaw Family Foundation publicly. They've been enormously generous in their support of this program. It could not have happened without them. In terms of what it means for universal basic income programs, I think it is we're providing evidence that these things work. I mean, I think it's obvious. When you give people cash money, they are better off, especially people who live on the margins. When you give them additional cash, it makes their lives better. It improves not just their economic outlook, but it improves their mental health for their entire family. They're just not struggling as much as they would be in the absence of this money.
So what are you hearing when you talk to residents who have been able to participate in the program? What do they tell you about how they use the money, what it means to them, how it has changed their sense of self-agency, for example, if I can imagine something you might hear about?
You know, the stories I'm hearing are anecdotal. We're engaging with a handful of people. They come here, they lost a card, we give them another, and we engage them in how they're doing. But all of the people are extremely grateful that they're getting this unfettered money, and all of them are happy that they have this little extra income. Some of them may continue to use it for food. Others use it to pay a phone bill that they fell behind on, a cell phone bill, a utility bill. The necessities that all of us who are a little better off take for granted, these people struggle with. And this kind of debit card, which is allows them to spend anywhere Visa is accepted, just takes the edge off the financial distress they can be under each month.
So this is a pilot. You've extended it until June. Can it or will it continue beyond that in any form?
So, working with the Shaw Foundation, the city's hoping to extend it through Labor Day. I'm reasonably confident, but we're not ready to announce that yet. After that, no. This is an expensive program, but it's a program that government, state and federal government, should be supporting. It's a much better way, it seems to me, to get to solve this problem of financial need and food insecurity than current existing programs that have a lot of barriers to people and are very often restrictive in the way people can spend money.
So you're not formally announcing Labor Day yet, but you just said that that's sort of the target to extend it through. But then what happens for people who have had... Yeah, so what then happens? So people have had 200, 300, 400, sort of depending on family size, et cetera, extra dollars, and that's going to go away. Any worry that that loss does real harm to those families?
Well, yes, it's a worry, but it's our hope that by then, many of these families will have had a chance to get their jobs and hours back. Most of the people who signed up for this program were people who were in distress because they had lost jobs entirely or had hours cut back. The surveying we've done that Harvard University has done has clearly established that the thing these people want most is to get their jobs and hours back. They're not looking for a handout. They're looking to get back to work. The data and the surveys prove that. And our hope is that by Labor Day, with the economy continuing to improve, there won't be as much need for this extra money as there was during the height of the pandemic.
And Tom, just briefly, how is Chelsea faring? We've been following the journey of your community throughout this pandemic.
I would say in terms of health-wise, Chelsea is doing much better. Our numbers are significantly lower now than they were at the height of the pandemic last spring, and even during the second surge over the winter, our numbers are dropping. Lots of people are getting vaccinated. So we're doing, health-wise, we're doing quite well. You know, the economic impacts will linger here for quite a while, but we're optimistic that things are getting better and that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
That is Chelsea City Manager Tom Ambrosino. Tom, as always, thanks for the time. It's good to talk to you.
Okay, thank you.